Okay, as we continue in the book of Acts, we are now in chapter 11, and today we are covering the first 18 verses under the title, Never Stand in God's Way. Never stand in God's way. And we are going to read again our text, Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. Thus says the Lord. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Now, the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet, lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into heaven, into the sky. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." Let's pray. Father, we are before you, ready to receive our food for our souls from you through your word. Give it to us, Lord. We are ready to receive it, and use us as mere vessels, not to add anything from us, but only to expound that which is yours to the benefit of our inner man and to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, so we are now in chapter 11, where we want to look at how Peter left Caesarea back to Jerusalem. what he was doing in Caesarea, you know better, those who have been coming every Sunday here. He was in Joppa. He was moving around visiting churches. At this time, many churches had been planted. Yeah, so he came from Jerusalem to other parts of Judea. He continued up to Joppa. And from Joppa, God sent for him to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. Not a proselyte Gentile, no. He was fully Gentile. And as you read in our first reading in the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, God himself had forbidden them, his people Israel, from mingling with these unclean people. In Ezra chapter 9, Ezra was crying because his people had just forgotten that, and they had just started mingling with these unclean people, common people. And so this is what was deep in the mind of each and every Jew. Even our dear brothers here, even after receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they still believed in that. And after whatever happened in the house of Cornelius, they requested Peter to remain with them a few days. Obviously, remain there, disciplining them, teaching them more truth. And after that, he had to go back to Jerusalem. And in verse 1, we read that now the apostle and the brethren who were brought, who were throughout Judea, heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. They knew about that even before Peter reached Jerusalem. How they knew it about it, we can't tell. But obviously people are moving around, going from up from Caesarea to Jerusalem and back. And here you learn that the whole of Judea was full of churches now. It was not only those in Jerusalem, no. Because here scripture is informing us that both the apostles, the 11, because Peter was alone, he was alone down there as an apostle. So both the 11 apostles and other brethren. In the brethren here, we have both brothers and sisters. And these were not the brethren from the church in Jerusalem, no. But from the churches all over Judea. In other words, when they knew about what Peter had done in Caesarea, all the churches said, no, this is not there. Abomination. And in verse 2, Peter comes back. They all turn against him. Some criticize him, but all of them contend him face to face. Both the 11 apostles and other brethren from different churches in the region. What is this? Have you done? And listen to the condemnation or the blame. When Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. Saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. We wish you had only stopped at going into their house. But you also ate with them. So those of the circumcision means what? These are the Jews, the Jewish converts, who still retained a veneration for circumcision. Because up to this moment, the biggest theological problem that was disturbing the church was the question as to whether Gentiles could fully be saved without being circumcised, even before being converted to Judaism. And their response was, all of them was, no, it can't happen. And some could quote even some parts in the Old Testament. So that's why all of them can't understand what Peter has done. Verse 4. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence, saying, and from verse 5 up to around 13, he gives them the whole story, which story you already know because we've gone through it maybe three times or twice. He gives them, he explains to them every single detail. Let me go quickly through this. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. An object came down like a great sheet. For the sake of time, let me just explain. Yeah, because the whole story, you know, because Peter explained, gave this explanation in Cornelius' house. He's repeating it the second time here. So you know the story. On that tent, there were all sorts of animals and birds that they used to call unclean. And the voice told him, Peter, slaughter, kill and eat. He said, no, this can't happen to me. These are unclean animals. And the voice told him, what God has cleansed, don't call it common or unclean. And that was repeated three times when the tent was taken back. Peter was wise enough to ask six Jews, brethren from Joppa, to go with him. Without that, Peter would not have survived. So now here, I want to go applying some truth here. Number one, not only the apostles criticized Peter, but both the apostles and other brethren. What do we have to learn from their friends? Is number one that the first church did not look at Peter as infallible. Because remember, this was not only an apostle, but the first among the apostles, the leader of the apostles. He was a big person. And you know how the Roman Catholics say that is the first pope. Yeah, then other popes are younger brothers, they follow him. When he came back to Jerusalem, you and me would have thought that only the other 11 apostles would have sat him down. In secret. What is this? Have you done? With your big title? But both the apostles and the common people like you guys said no. This you've done is not there. Even if you are Peter. In this country, you always hear it is a song in our ears that no one is above the law. But I personally know many who are above the law in this country. I know them. One even slapped a police woman in Mukono there, and he's free. But here, God is not a respecter of any person. They contend him. Two. In verse 4, we find the humility of Peter. Peter did not say, but who are you to ask me such a question? More especially on these common believers. But why are you asking me such a question? I'm your pastor. But the Bible tells us that Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain in detail and in order. In verse 3, we find the imperfection of the first church. After Pentecost, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, the church was imperfect. Instead of rejoicing at what had happened and congratulating Peter, they called him to account as a criminal. Others have embraced Christ instead of being happy. They are taking Peter as a criminal. That's the imperfection of the highest order. Always ask yourself, am I criticized by brothers and sisters rightly? Because if you are a minister, a preacher, like it or not, you will be criticized. If it has not happened, it will happen. Not even once. Ministers should know that they will always be resisted, criticized, opposed. Not only by the unbelievers, but also by their fellow brethren. And that is very normal. The only thing to check is whether your accusers are right or wrong in their accusation. If you are right and your accusers are wrong, Just thank God for being persecuted for his sake. But if your accusers are right, repent. Because accusations will always come your way. Not only to ministers, but to all of us together. Ask yourself, what this brother or this sister is accusing me of, is it right or wrong? If it's right, repent. All of us are still imperfect. Another truth that we find in this text is that Christianity does not perfect its disciples at once. No, it's a process. Don't see a brother or a sister come to Christ or give their lives to Christ, and you start expecting them to behave like you. No! It's a process! Some disciples had attained the rank of apostle, and yet they still had many errors to correct and habits to overcome. All of us here still have errors to correct and habits to overcome. Sanctification is a process. So Peter is explaining, he puts his titles down and he says, brethren, let me explain to you. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to try to win the argument. Because from A to Z, I did not play any role. It is God, God, and God. I'm only here to put the facts before you. So I saw that these unclean animals. I said, no, God, I've never eaten something like this. So now, he's explaining so that they will understand that what he did was correct. And is strong parts or areas. Number one, we find it in verse 7. I also heard a voice saying to me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. No, verse 8. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean as ever entered my mouth. 9. But a voice from heaven answered a second time. So a second time is one of his strong areas to prove that this thing did not come to me only once. You might think that these were just my ideas, but it came to me the second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. Verse 10. This happened 3 times. You know, if you think that this was only my imagination, it happened 3 times. And everything was drawn back up into the sky. It did not just disappear. It went back the way it came. Verse 11. And behold, at that moment, another proof, another strong point. At that very moment, 3 men appeared at the house in which we were staying. having been sent to me from Caesarea. It's not only me. God, after God telling me this and that, immediately people were standing at the door. The brethren are quiet, following him. 13. No, 12, sorry. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving or without hesitation. And here, before I continue, I want to shed some light on this word, and the Spirit told me. Yeah, because the Mkama Nambie might, my people might also, this might be one of their verses to try to defend what they do. Yeah, because these days everyone hears from God, not through scripture. Everyone, not only their pastors and their apostles and their prophets, even common believers. Ask yourself, how did he tell them? You can't tell. So here Peter says, when those people are standing at the door, the Spirit told him. Because here the Lord was still building the foundation of the church. These are the apostles. God was doing something very important. He was bringing you and me, the Gentiles, into the family. He talked to him. I don't know how, because it's not explained here. Whether he had a voice or from his conscience, I can't tell. But the Lord, the Spirit told him. So now you and me today, the only voice of God is this, that you can 100% trust. Other voices, be very careful. If you can read for me a scripture and tell me Mkama Ngambi, I have no issue with that. I have no problem with that. Mkama Ngambi, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I have no problem with that. But if you came to me and said, no, Pastor Bill, Mkama Ngambi, God has told me that it is Amina that I have to marry. It is Amina. No. No. Where did you meet him? How did he tell you? You are using your own feelings. Yeah, so be very careful with God has told me. I have no problem personally with it. I feel inside me. Yeah, that brother, you should not do this. But I feel inside me that I should do this and that. Yeah, because I don't doubt, I don't refute it, that God can use our conscience. He can guide us. As He's guiding our conscience, it has to go hand in hand with scripture. Period. Once you feel some spirit somehow is guiding your conscience, and what you is telling you to do is consulting in scripture, that is not God. For example, yeah, Bill, me here, I feel really God is leading me. He's leading me in my conscience. That I should marry Beatrice. Do you see how it's breaking scripture? Because the person who's being led is married, and even the one that the Spirit is leading you to is, has got the husband. So friends, I know at your age especially, Pastor, I'm going to preach the gospel to him or her. Be careful. Yeah, so you can see here that, okay, the Spirit talked to Peter, and Peter went and found exactly what he had told him. Go, people are waiting for you at the church. Verse 13. Sorry, still 12. The Spirit told me to go with them without hesitating. These six brethren also went with me. Peter is bringing some points, strong points, to convince the brethren. For your information, these six brethren were not from Jerusalem. To prove to you that Peter did not ask them to escort him in vain without any reason. They were the brethren from Joppa. He requested them to go with him to Caesarea. And from Caesarea, he requested them to go with him up to Jerusalem. Because he had anticipated what would come out. So now, the Jewish people were very familiar with both the Egyptians and the Roman laws. Yes, they were very, very familiar with those two laws. In the Egyptian law, they say that seven witnesses would prove a case beyond dispute. Yeah, our Bible talks of two or three people are enough to prove a point. But the law of the Egyptians was seven. Six, no. But seven, no, this is true. On the other side, in the Roman law, seven seals were required to authenticate an important document. Stamps, sort of. You see what happened yesterday in Chamboko? That document that the President Wawurwa is, and again the president of this country, who, according to the Roman law, it would not be authentic. Because I did not see seven seals on it. So for them, seven of them. And check what is going on here. We have those seven seals of God to prove that you and me, the Gentiles, I'd also join the family of Christ. Six brothers from Joppa and Peter. Seven seals. And Peter did not say, friends, you've escorted me, thank you, so now remain in Joppa and go continuing back home. Why am I sure that he went with them up to Jerusalem? Because he says it himself here. These six brethren, these. Not some six brethren from Joppa, no. These ones you see here also went with me, and we entered the man's house. Avoid doing things alone, my friend. Avoid. Even our Lord Jesus Christ himself never sent people to go and preach one by one. He sent them two. Because when you do things alone and then you want to prove to your church service, how can we prove you? Always do things with other people. Avoid doing things in darkness. Always do things in light. The brothers are here. They are not Gentiles. They are as Jews as we are. Maybe they accepted to escort him because of respect.
Peter is asking us to go to the house of a Gentile.
But no, it's not only because of respect. Peter had explained to them the vision of the vision. So they thought that, yeah, this might be God. Even though they went still with some doubts. 13. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here." Now all these words, Peter's got 6 more pillars to support him. Because when Cornelius was telling them, they were all together there following. 14. And he will speak words to you by which you will be saved. You and all your households. You are not yet saved. This is Peter saying. It is this Peter that I want you to send from Joppa, who is going to speak to you words by which you will be saved with your household. It's by words. People are saved by words, not by miracle signs and wonders. That we need to go to a stadium and perform miracles, they stretch us up so people come to Christ. People get saved by words, the mere words that you are listening to now. Words about Jesus Christ. Last Sunday we saw how Peter arranged his words well around Christ. His life, his death and resurrection. It is through those words that you'll be saved with your household. 15. And the man began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. This shocked me yesterday when I was preparing this. Obviously, last Sunday I told you that Peter had not finished his speech. Yeah, Peter was really a biblical reformed preacher. Yeah, it's in most churches that don't value scripture where they give the preacher 15 minutes to preach. Yeah, you know, like if I went to a church and they said, "Pastor, preach for 15 minutes, I don't know where I can begin from. This is the climax of any worship service. The most important part of any worship service. Peter was a lengthy preacher. Go to his other sermons. The first one at Pentecost was long. So here you might think that he had gone halfway. But hear what he's telling his brethren that had just started. All those words that he spoke to them, he said, no, I have not even gone anywhere. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. In other words, even if you preach for 2 hours, that will not make you a reformed preacher. No, preaching Christ will make you a reformed preacher. Even if you preach Christ in 5 minutes, let Jesus Christ be heard. Don't talk about yourself, about your family, about the success of your ministry. Those words have no power to save. Tell people of how Christ died for them. Tell them of his great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In the few words of Peter, Christ was preached in them. So the spirit fell. He fell, and my brothers here asked them, they saw it. And the way he fell had no difference with the way he fell to us at Pentecost. Exactly the same way. Just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, both me and my six brothers here were amazed. In other words, I've given you some strong points. Peter is giving strong points to prove that what he did was from the Lord. Among them, the voice came to me 3 times. Among them, I was not there alone. This. 6 brothers are here. But above all of them, above all those proofs, the strongest is the coming down of the Holy Spirit. Because all this, the tent coming down could not surprise Peter and his friends so too much. But to hear these Gentiles who have nothing to do with Judaism speak in tongues just the way we spoke, even me, Peter, speaking to you, I haven't understood it. And the two events happened the same way. The Spirit of Christ found them in rooms. The Jews were enclosed in the upper room. And these Gentiles were, together with Peter and others, were inside the room. Verse 17, therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after beginning in the Lord,
Just
Who was I that I could stand in God's way, friend? The whole congregation is quiet, listening to Peter. No one is nodding to the speaking to the other. They are also amazed the way Peter and the six brothers were amazed. The God you and me serve, friends, does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the way he works with these people changes. He worked with them in that dispensation like that. Because as you can see in Ezra chapter 9, the people of God, the Jews, not to mingle with these other pagans, did not come from them, it came from God Himself. And again, it's the same God who says, okay, that's gone, that's past. I'm welcoming them as well. Not to be below you a little bit, but to be equal with you in everything. What do you want me to do, friends? Could I have stood in the way of God? When they heard this, they quieted down. Other versions say they were silent. Silent. Listening. And glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. God has also visited the Gentiles with repentance that leads to life. So I've shown you the imperfection of the first church. They were not omniscient. Then, as we continue, I've shown you how Christianity does not perfect its disciples at once. I've told you that whether you like it or not, you'll be criticized. You'll be opposed. But check your ground. Why are they opposing you? Are you in wrong or you are right? I showed you in verse 4 the humility of Peter. By explaining everything in orderly sequence. In other words, he was made accountable to the whole congregation. Not only to his fellow apostles. We are accountable to you. We cannot do whatever we want simply, we are your leaders. And another point to learn here is that don't just begin criticizing before you know the whole truth behind. This brother started criticizing their brother Peter. But after being explained, you see them glorifying God. In other words, they also opened the door to welcome the Gentiles among them. As a mature believer, don't talk about things before you know. When you see people do what looks suspicious, instead of criticizing them ignorantly, first inquire of them. First listen to the reasons behind their actions. I criticize personally so much these churches like this one that do not allow women to be pastors. Me. I criticize so much these churches that speak against speaking in tongues. That after sitting down with some brethren, we opened the books. I understood things clearly. The single greatest theological, I told you again about this problem that was disturbing the early church, was whether or not Gentiles could be saved without becoming Jews. Another lesson found here is that, as the English say, repetition is mother of science. See how, for the second time, Luke tells the story of Peter's vision. See how, for the fourth time, any reader of the book of Acts, when he reaches here, is hearing the story of Cornelius and the angel for the fourth time. Don't say, Pastor, he speaks too much about that. We need to speak and speak and speak so that they stick there. Who was I that I could stand in God's way? My question to you this morning, who are you trying to stand in God's way? You know how you are standing in God's way? By not doing what He wants you to do, and by doing what He does not want you to do. Having the Holy Spirit is amazing. That's why we want you to embrace Christ so that He can give you His Spirit. Because once you have Him, He will guide you in all truth. The first church, with their imperfection, did not split as we see some churches these days. Some small problem? Let me leave Elder David here. Let us go. Marvin, let's go. Suman, are you going with us? Well, let's go and begin a church on the other side of the market there. That's not a speech from God. They did not agree with what Peter done. But they did not split. They did not go down to Cornelius' house to hear also from Cornelius. But the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them helped them trust and believe what they heard from Peter. And as I end this, it's amazing to see how wretched you and me are. So here this passage ends in verse 18 with the believers praising God. Let me show you how they praise God. In which way? Glorify God. They glorified God saying. Yeah, so you can glorify God by doing something. You can glorify God by saying something that lifts him high. So these people did not go on their knees. Simply by saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. That was enough to say that they glorify God. In other words, in your life, whatever you do that can push people to speak well about your God is glorifying God. Whatever you say that will push people to honor and respect your God, you are glorifying your God. That's why you indulging in political conversations will not really, I don't know how you can avoid it, because even me personally, I was trying to ask myself, how can I be part of a political dialogue or conversation, and I fail to have sight. It's almost impossible. Should a Christian be a politician? That's a good question. If you want, you can. But you do it at your own risk. Personally, I can't over my dead body, and I could not advise you to join politics. I have a friend of mine who was just neighbors here at Bunamwaya here, Pastor Seru Kenya of this church in Mabati. What? He's now an MP. Yeah, David Seru Kenya is now the MP for Saba Gabo. He's my friend, I know him very well. He's an MP. Agenda kwetu girawele. I told Sister Judith Babije plainly, the Lord is my witness. I'm telling you, I told her, and she abused me, she insulted me on Messenger. Satan put her totally down. She was put to shame, seriously. Yeah, because most of these people are going there, the majority, into the house. They are not going to serve you, they are going for their own bellies. And yet the Bible tells us that the love of man is the source of all evil. So now, check this amazing thing, friends. Not only the one church in Jerusalem had seconded the Gentiles to join them in the family of Christ, but many other churches in the region of Judea. So they have also put aside that they should not, they could visit Gentiles, they could even eat with them. Good enough, we are going chapter by chapter, verse by verse. You'll be surprised when we reach chapter 15. Just continue coming to RBC, you'll be surprised. Let me just read quickly for you the first few verses, the first of verse 15. It's amazing. The other people brought the same issue. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren that unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. some time ago, they praised God, oh, it's okay, God has also brought our brother from the Gentiles. Now, no, but it's a chija, it cannot be. Peter, who stood up and spent hours expounding and explaining that no, it was God, these people have entered, they are just equal with us, went back in the same mistake himself. Galatians chapter 2. Friends, we are wretched. How can you vomit and you go back to start again leaking your vomit? Galatians chapter 2, 11 up to 14. Read this. But when Cephas, this is Peter, came to Antioch, the one speaking is Apostle Paul, the zealous man. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face to face, because he stood condemned. Why? For before the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy. With the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? It's amazing. So when I read something like this, personally I just say, God have mercy on me, we need grace. They blamed him for visiting and eating with the Gentiles after many years. Obviously he had not stopped eating with them, but he was doing it secretly. If he is with only the Gentiles, they eat together very well. I remember how the Lord brought you to us in Caesarea. When someone knocks at the door, and I ask, who's that? Brother David, Patrick, don't open the door. They should not see me eat with you. Hypocrisy? May the Lord have mercy on us. If you tell your brother or your sister here that I love you, let it come from your heart. Don't speak with your mouth, I love you, brother, sister, and your heart is saying, I don't like you. Be you. Leave scripture. Be open. As I end again, I want to end the way I began. Do us a favor and don't go into political discussion, because I know it will continue up to 1 month. I've not chiliao, chiliao. Don't do that. Yes, you might not love him, and I'm not forcing you to love him. But you are born again Christian. You are transformed. Pray for your country. Pray for your leaders. If he rigged the elections, it's sin in him. Pray that he will know Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this word.
Allow it have place in our hearts and use it to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our great Savior. Amen.